From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. In a few minutes, a rabid fan will make the case against football, a game he says he now realizes damages lives, but also our education system and our values.
But first, the U.S. has begun to fly spy missions over Syria to gather intelligence on the militant group ISIS. President Obama approved the air surveillance, and he's reportedly considering airstrikes against ISIS in Syria. But regional watchers say the White House has a tricky problem on its hands. A weaker ISIS may end up strengthening the embattled Syrian regime. MIT international security expert Here Now contributor Jim Walsh is in the studio. Jim, thanks for coming in.
Good to be with you.
And in terms of these surveillance flights, what do we know about them and what kind of information they're gathering?
Well, we've collected surveillance on Syria for a while, but mostly from satellites. Now we're going to be using drones and aircraft. And those drones and aircraft will not only be taking pictures, they'll be picking up signals intelligence, trying to listen, trying to look. And the reason why we haven't done that before is because when we've used these methods in the past, the government, the places where we were flying supported us. Assad does not want us there, and there's a concern that he would shoot down our drones and shoot down our aircraft.
So this could potentially open the door to airstrikes? What's the likelihood of that?
I think it's very likely, based on the comments we heard last week from the Department of Defense, from Chuck Hagel and others. So the first step is you collect intelligence, you try to identify targets, and in this case that means actual leaders of ISIS, assets that they hold that are fixed and on the ground, warehouses, artillery, weapons of any kind, and then after having gathered that intelligence, then you launch missions to try to take those pieces out. The problem, of course, is if those assets, whether they're people or things, are in cities surrounded by civilians.
A former State Department official told the New York Times that there are serious risks to the U.S. striking in Syria. His quote to the paper was, "We are unconsciously walking into an ambush." What kind of concerns do you have, and do you believe that that's a fair view?
Well, I think anytime you use military force against another country, there are always costs and risks. And it's not just the monetary ones, although those are not trivial. But if there are pilots flying planes, those pilots are at risk. If someone gets shot down and we send in a group of special forces to rescue that person, those people are at risk. So there's certainly risk to the U.S. itself and to be the U.S. to be seen as a partisan in this conflict. In other words, fair game for others to attack who are on the other side. Then there are the more general repercussions that come with stoking a civil war in the middle of the Middle East.
And, you know, we should note here, as we talked earlier, that the concern is if ISIS is weakened, Bashar al-Assad could be strengthened. Just about a year ago, the U.S. was considering striking the Assad regime over a chemical weapons attack. So this is quite a change. Tell us about that concern. Could we strike ISIS without strengthening Assad?
The only way that happens, I think, is if the non-ISIS rebels gain in strength. Remember, a lot of what's been happening is not simply Assad's government versus the rebels. It's rebels fighting rebels. So it's ISIS or ISIL fighting other both al-Qaeda and non-al-Qaeda factions on the rebel side. So if we are able to attrit ISIS in some way, then maybe that'll help the other rebels to be able to stop fighting their own and take the fight to Assad. It's just very hard to know. That's the nature of a civil war. You press one button here, you don't know what's going to happen elsewhere on the board.
Jim, you mentioned this, but you know, Syria, the Syrian government is basically saying you're welcome to strike ISIS.
Yeah,
just make sure you do it with our coordination and permission.
Yeah.
What is the likelihood the U.S. would coordinate with Syria? And if it doesn't, what are the downsides?
Well, I find it hard to believe that we would cooperate. And maybe there's a distinction between coordination and cooperation. But this is a guy who used chemical weapons against his own population, that uses, you know, barrel bombs against civilians. It's hard to imagine that we could turn around and then somehow work with him as we try to defeat a third enemy. I remain skeptical about that, and I remain skeptical about the president's interest in getting involved in that Syrian civil war any more than is absolutely necessary. I think we're going to try to keep it as limited as possible.
Jim, you're also skeptical about ISIS and how much of a threat they are. Do you think the U.S. is miscalculating when it thinks it might have to go after them with airstrikes?
Well, I must say, we saw quite a pivot last week, what change in tone and emphasis, and now policy. And it suggests to me that the beheading of the American journalist had a big psychological impact on the White House. At least the coincidence would lead you to that conclusion. I wonder, I think ISIL has a lot of problems, right? They have strengths, but brutality does not equal capability. Now they're fighting a war on at least four different fronts. You know, they're fighting Assad, they're fighting the other rebel groups, they're fighting the Kurds, and they're fighting the Iraqis. So they have to fight all four at the same time, and now the U.S. is joining and Iran is joining. So for a group that's not a state, but is a sub-state actor, they've taken on quite a bit now.
That's Here Now contributor Jim Walsh. He's an expert in international security with MIT's Security Studies Program. Jim, thank you.
Thank you.